The superintendent, who was probably 55, he was so old. He came over and he said, "You know, you can't do that, son." He said, "I used to do stuff like that, and I can't anymore." And I remember thinking, "Old man, the only reason you're hurting now is because you were never half as tough as I am today." It was the most foolish thought I ever thought.
Welcome back to the shop, everybody. We are in the shop for a few minutes with a kind of a different and fun conversation that I'm really looking forward to. Before we talk about that, I got one announcement, and if you're watching the video, you're going to see it, but I got in my hand our first, actually two of our prototype new Essential Craftsman products that will be coming to our website at some point in the next, hopefully, month or two. Mm. We are really, really excited about it. We've been trying to bring a hammer to the market, or to you, our viewers, for a couple years now, and it's been hard because hammers are hard to make. Not that they're hard to make, but they are hard to make.
And they take time. You have to tool up, you have to gear up, yeah. And you have to be ready to do it.
Yeah, just so many things. And like everything, division of labor, it makes more sense for somebody who specializes in hammers to do it. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure you would love to make hammers for everyone who wanted one.
I would like to make 20 hammers in my lifetime, but I wouldn't like to make 20,000 hammers in my lifetime.
We have a hammer going to be on our website made by Brent Bailey, the premier, yes, at least in the Western United States,
yeah,
hammer blacksmith guru,
yeah,
and he has two hammers specially designed, sort of planned for Essential Craftsmen, our viewers. This is one of them. I'm going to just leave this as kind of let the video speak for itself, but you're going to be seeing a lot more about it very soon. It's a small cross peen. I'll give you a little teaser. We're really excited about it. Just really a neat tool. That's why we got them here. We kind of got them in our hands. They're just fun to have and hold. And
so let me just say that Brent Bailey has made 20,000 hammers, okay? And yes, he is the premier hammer maker. And we've collaborated on the designs of these two hammers. And there may be a third. We'll see. But I tell you what, if elegance is a term you can use to describe a tool, this is elegant. I like it. And besides that, the Alloys S7, if you know anything about steel, that will get your attention. Think about forging a hammer out of S7. Anyway.
Yeah, like a lot of things we do, for better or worse, this is not something we're going to make a lot of money with. It's more just something that we've wanted to do. So we're excited to own them ourselves. And for any of you who would also like to own one, it's got our logo stamped in it. Very soon, you'll be able to at the very best price you could hope for a hand-forged in the United States S7 Essential Craftsman hammer. We're really excited about it, man. And here it is. So coming soon. All right, now we've got a conversation for you about health with a couple specifics. Now, for construction guys and blue-collar guys, it's really not just an important topic, but, you know, life or death, at least in terms of your income. Staying healthy can be the difference of having a career for a lot of people, and a lot of blue-collar guys will get an injury that pretty much puts them out of work for the rest of their life. Or I should say, some guys get injuries that take them out of their profession, and they may never climb back into it. Is that the case?
That is, in fact, the case. Steve Hood and I are peers. He's a year older than I am, and we've talked about this a lot, and we recognize that a life in construction, carpentry in particular, doing it yourself and not just becoming a contractor where everything is hired, has some real pluses and minuses pertaining to health. The first plus is you stay in decent shape. I mean, he and I are both in pretty good shape for 60-year-old men. You move around, you keep most of your strength, your muscles stay awake, you know, mm-hmm. you have eye-hand coordination, and all that's pretty good. But there is something called a chronic abuse syndrome that he and I have also talked about that is on the other side of the scale that will, I mean, separate from injury, and we need to talk about injury and safety and what that implies, but separate from that, there's just the thing about how do you keep your body working like that for a long period of time, and if not enjoy it, at least remain able to do it.
I've thought about this a lot as we are not lectured to, but, you know, going to the gym is a part of, I don't know if it's not maybe part of our culture, but it's a good idea. I don't know anybody in the trades who goes to the gym.
That's right.
Do you?
No. Well, just a second. No, I can't think of anyone who takes time out of their 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. physical work schedule to go to the gym. Now, I know a couple guys that play a little racquetball, but mostly because it's competitive. I know a couple guys that on a Wednesday night will go play basketball, mostly because it's competitive. But as far as just go to the gym for fitness, no, I don't.
Yeah, it's just a hard thing to do, and I'm not really a blue-collar guy, but I've definitely had some long days, and the last thing you want to do is go work out after that. And yeah, in a perfect world, going to the gym, getting your exercise like a check-the-box kind of thing and using good form for all your lifts would be kind of nice way to go. Not the case for a lot of people, though. So to get to the brass tacks, I want to talk, Dad, about the injuries and kind of be specific about what you've seen and gone through. I know you've had some injuries and
not
you've
many.
Had some, you know, techniques and some habits that have helped along the way. And the first and most predictable is your back injuries, which is almost goes without saying that 60-year-old construction guys have some back trouble.
Yeah.
You've kind of had back pain and trouble for a long time.
Yeah.
Maybe talk a little bit about what that's been like over your career and kind of, you know, how that's, where's that now?
So what I've done right in terms of health is I've burned a lot of calories. Okay. I've been busy enough and worked hard enough and got out of bed early enough to burn a lot of calories. So I didn't stack a bunch of weight on. Some of that is genetics. In fact, maybe a lot of that's genetics. And so there's clearly that unpredictable piece, but able to keep the weight off. I mean, the cholesterol's fine and the blood pressure's fine and that's all good. Here's what I did wrong. I was strong as a young man, but I was always kind of tight and rigid and inflexible, and I didn't pay much attention to increasing or maintaining flexibility. And by the time I was 30, that was starting to take a real toll because of my back. My hamstring, you know, I mean, the cord that goes from your ankles to the back of your neck was just tight. And it was strong, but it was tight, and I didn't take any proactive action to loosen that up. And that finally got to a point where by the time I was 40, I had to begin to do something, some stretching exercises, but I didn't really begin to focus any attention on it and become really committed to a proactive regimen of solving that problem until I realized 2.5 years ago we were going to have to build this house, and I was going to have to do it in public, and I had to regain some flexibility. And so I've been better, and that has made a big difference that I wouldn't mind talking about.
So about flexibility, what specifically, you know, I've never felt like being flexible or inflexible has helped nor hurt me, but in construction, what is being flexible do?
Let me go to the extreme flexible side of the continuum. Jim Pinch, my dad's age, he was built in such a way that all of his life he could bend over, bend at the waist, and put his hands flat on the ground. He never had any back pain. I mean, he was a concrete guy for years, and his back never hurt. I'm going to put myself on the other end of the spectrum. I wasn't able to bend over and touch anything but the top of my 8-inch high Sears diehard boots from the time I was 25. I just was stiff. I couldn't touch my toes. And so it wasn't long before that started manifesting with muscle spasms and muscle strain in my lower back. They were just continually being torn because bending over without stretching them, those ligaments kind of shorten over time. Years are doing it now, by the way. Mm-hmm. Your ligaments harden and they kind of shorten and they get kind of fixed. And then when you bend over and pick up something heavy like you do all the time, you're getting micro tears, and those ligaments tear, and then they try to heal, and they tear, and they try to heal, and pretty soon you have so much scar tissue in there, you're hurt all the time. If there would have been time, and if I would have been wise enough to do yoga regimen, you know, consistently, I would be in better shape for building this house now. Now, I did start a year and a half ago with some physical therapy, and Evan Ricks just kind of has been grinding me under the heel of his boot and stretching me and showing me some exercises, and my back feels way better. So the takeaway for you and for people your age is think about changing that mindset to realizing that flexibility is going to be important when I'm older, like really important?
So here's a real kind of low-level question, but I'm just making sure I'm understanding it right. Generally, the types of back injuries that you've had are tight muscles and ligaments that are sore and seized up. We're not talking about bones, and I know you're
right.
You had bone back problems. That's another class of back
it is.
Trouble.
And
is
I've
that
been lucky
right?
that way. I've had good back structure. The okay. structure of my back, I have some thinning discs, and I've got some discs that are bulged, but that's not where my back pain was really coming from. I mean, it's complicated. I've had chiropractors who couldn't manipulate my back because it just seemed to be fused. I think that was because the muscles were so tight. But I was blessed. I considered a blessing with good back structure, but I just really abused the muscles. I let them get too tight and too short. And now, just by simply stretching out my hamstrings with some pretty simple exercises, my back feels better than it has felt in a long time. Now, some people don't have that back structure, and they'll have an accident or something will happen, or they'll fall, and they will have a debilitating problem that surgery is the only option for, and surgery can't fix it, and so that's a whole separate category.
Yeah.
And I never had that, and I'm so thankful for it. But for most, I will say, most people don't overlook flexibility exercises.
It was a couple years ago, but you had someone give you some advice to start doing sit-ups to help your back. Talk about that for a minute.
Building your core strength, I found out, is not just an option. It is vital if you're going to remain able to do work. You have to be able to pick things up. You have to be able to bend over and pick things up. And I didn't realize, but the muscles on the front of your abdomen are critically important for the well-being of the muscles on the backside. You know, the muscles on the back and the muscles on the front are working together. And so I do some sit-ups in the morning. I do 50 or 60 sit-ups. I do different kinds of sit-ups. And if I'm consistent with that, man, my back is way less painful. The most effective thing I did was put that crane on the truck, though. I mean, let's be honest. The most effective thing I did to relieve back pain was put that crane on my truck. As soon as that happened, I stopped having to have Kelly pull my socks on in the morning. So, I mean, stop lifting stupid stuff is one thing you can do.
I mentioned the gym at the beginning of this and almost made it sound like it's not an option. I've been working at times and aware of this, and there are ways on a job site to lift and move and work where at the time I kind of felt like I was carrying things in a way that was building my muscles. And have you ever done that and thought about that while you're working? Like, I'm going to carry these boards, I don't know, in this way, or, you know.
I've thought about it. When my back's hurting, I go out of my way to pick up trash on the job and to be careful for a while to start the morning picking up trash and junk, light things off the ground, because that bending over and straightening up, I feel like if I'm careful, it helps. My physical therapist has told me that my posture's been bad, that I've let the interior curve in my lower back become too pronounced. He's taught me to kind of flatten that out by flexing my abs as a way to sort of, and, you know, that's his professional opinion, and it's helping me. So if people are still listening to this, and if you're a young man, don't overlook the flexibility piece. Okay, let me tell you the stupidest thing I ever thought. Let me tell you the stupidest, the most foolish, okay, stupidest, the most foolish thing that ever crossed my mind. I was maybe 5 years younger than you are, and I was on a job. We were pouring some suspended decks, and I was running the pour, and we had a pump, and I bent over and I picked up the concrete pump and I pulled it and I hurt my back. And the superintendent, who was probably 55, he was so old, he came over and he said, you know, you can't do that, son. He said, I used to do stuff like that and I can't anymore. And I remember thinking, old man, the only reason you're hurting now is because you were never half as tough as I am today. It was the most foolish thought I ever thought. I should have listened to him. He talked about some exercises, he talked about stretching out your back, he talked about touching your toes, and I disregarded it. It was lunacy.
Yeah, habits are really important, and the sooner you can establish good habits, the better, because it's breaking a bad habit is really, really hard. That goes for eating, that goes for, again, whether it's working out or stretching or whatever type of exercise fits in your schedule and lifestyle, a habit towards that. My wife's really good at that. She's got this workout habit where, I mean, vacation or at her parents, you know, in-laws for the week, rain or shine.
Yeah.
It's happening, and it's a habit, and it's, I don't want to say it's easy for her. She works really hard at it, but she has this habit that is helpful in maintaining that.
Yeah.
I do not have that habit,
yeah.
And it's really difficult to build that habit. So
you learned that from me, to not have that habit. You never saw me do anything like that. It was a mistake.
Yeah, Leo, I can't remember the exact wording or context, but it was something like, asked, how come dads don't run? You know, taking it for a given that dads just don't run. And I was kind of like, oh, well, they definitely do. I don't, but I'm going to now.
He just assumed
like, well, dads don't run. And actually Cora said similar types of things. So they definitely learned that. Okay. Last thing, to hit here, talk about cherry juice. I remember at least this was maybe 10 years ago, but this was a real thing where it helped you. And I don't know if that was, if there's more to that or if that was just a, you know, what's up with cherry juice? What are you still drinking that and taking it? Do you think that really helped? And give us the story there.
All right. So, you know, I don't know how personal is too personal. I've tart cherry juice, you know, there's inconclusive, or some people would say conclusive evidence that it reduces inflammation, that it has a positive anti-inflammatory effect. A systemic positive anti-inflammatory effect. I don't know if that's true, but here's what I do know. 8 years ago, I'm working. My shoulders were starting to kill me. I couldn't sleep on my shoulders, which is maybe a related thing we haven't talked about,
right. Good
sleep. But I had gotten to where I couldn't sleep on my shoulders and I couldn't throw a ball or a rock. I just couldn't do it. My shoulders hurt. And I was working on a job, good-sized job, and for Carl Macbeth, and he saw me kind of favoring my shoulders, and he's 70-year-old man, a hard charger, and he said, well, do you drink cherry? Here, I drink cherry juice. And I laughed at him, and he said, no, he said, I used to eat ibuprofen by the handful, and since I started drinking this cherry juice, I've stopped eating ibuprofen. Huh. And he gave me a quart. Huh. Okay. So I started drinking some of this tart cherry juice concentrate, and on a whim. And about 2 weeks later, I woke up one morning sleeping on my right shoulder. Hmm. And I thought, huh, that's weird. And I got up that day and I went outside and I picked up a rock and I threw it for the first time in years. The shoulder pain was gone. Now, is that causal or just correlation? I can't tell you. But I continued to drink that stuff for probably 3 years and I felt like general pain level went down.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's a natural laxative. Mm-hmm. And so there were some complications around that I finally, the cost benefit analysis, my shoulders stopped hurting. And so I've backed off on it, but I may go back to it.
Yeah.
It had a dramatic effect on reducing my general pain level. I couldn't help but at least partially attribute it to that tart cherry juice. Maybe.
I'm sure there's a lot of information about that. And I'm sure there's some experts and people who could, maybe that's a really common and well-known thing.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I remember at the time it made a difference, and it was plain as day to you at the time that it not that the cherry juice did it, but all of a sudden your pain was gone.
My pain,
and that's sort of a fact.
That pain was gone.
Yeah,
you know that's all I can say for sure is that pain was gone, and my ibuprofen consumption dropped off for a couple of years.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, we were planning on talking about sleep apnea, which is another health issue or item that you could have some interesting things to talk about, and I think we do that another day because we don't want to keep the listeners too long, and we have probably some, you know, a lot to go through there, but we can leave that as a teaser if that sounds like an interesting conversation. As a real teaser, the doctor said that your case was the worst he had ever seen.
Yeah.
And this happened 2 days ago. So
The most disrupted sleep patterns he's ever encountered, and he didn't know what to do about it. Great.
Man. Yeah.
Perfect.
So that's pretty great news. I always knew that, actually, just listening to you sleep. It's a disaster, and I could have told you that. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. This is our newer podcast. We're a few handfuls into it. The videos are on the second channel, EC2. If you have specific topics or guests you'd like to see, let us know. The idea here is to get people besides just us here talking about items, especially items related to the spec house. There's just more room here to go through and talk about some of the items that don't make it to the final cut of the videos. and we're kind of just getting our feet wet. If you have ideas or topics that you'd prefer or like to hear us go through, please leave it in the comments to that video. Our hope is to do at least one or two of these a week, and it's really been a pleasure. Anything else to add on this topic?
No, but I sure hope you start doing some stretching, because yeah, when you get to be 60, you're going to look back and say, man, he had a problem with that.
Yeah, some reason I never made the connection that it's, you know, the muscles getting tight that restricts and is causing people's like inability to move and function. For some reason, I just never connected that until right now, and stretching would keep those loose and limber, and that alone, nothing to do with strength or bones, but that alone could be the difference of an old man being able to get on his knees and wrestle with kids, because the muscles will allow that range of motion.
That's it. It's youth, man. Flexibility is youth.
Yeah, I don't know why that never really clicked. I somehow just felt like if I'm not in pain and I'm standing upright, I'm good to go.
Doing
but
fine.
Yeah, shows how much I know. All right, well, with that, we'll sign off. Thanks for listening to our podcast here, and hope everyone has a great week. Thank you.
Thanks.